Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, John Carpenter, who brings us The Journey with Mary, tonight originates from a unique place. Where are you coming from tonight, John? Tonight Our Lady has much to teach us from the land down under as we study her messages which she left behind for us to read and heed. So let's join John Carpenter from the land down under.
Good day, mate. It's truly nice down here down under, and tonight we will be talking to you about the operations of the Virgin Mary. Okay, enough of that. I don't speak Australian. But, hey, it's just saying that she does appear everywhere, and including down under in Australia, which we started there last week and will continue again this week. But she has appeared everywhere, all over the planet, on all continents except Antarctica. If she was there, no one was probably there to greet her. But, no need to be there. Anyway, and you ask, why are we doing this? Because it's important to understand what these heavenly visits are about and to learn from them and to see how absolutely real and important and valid they are so that we can get back on our path and be on a better spiritual direction for ourselves. These heavenly messages aren't her idea. She says God tells her what to say. Jesus is with her on every occasion. This is a group event. She doesn't just go out and do this on her own. She's doing this because she is representing heaven and God's words and what Jesus wants for us to remember. So we need to go to confession. We need to go back to Mass. We need to, sacrifice. We need to fast. We need to do things, penance. We need to do these things. And above all, pray, pray, pray. She has said many times, you can never pray enough. If you knew the power of prayer, you would never cease praying. That's pretty impressive to remember that line. So we go over these visits, which started in 40 AD and are still going on today. And we look at each one carefully. We look for the best research details, facts, information, messages, and what we can learn from each one. And every week, there are so many gems that come out as we talk about these aspects of each encounter that has been documented. These people didn't set out expecting for this to happen. They didn't ask for it to happen, but it started happening. Heaven started doing this, and we are making notes. We are trying to follow and understand what all these visits mean. And we are learning a great deal. If you've been with the show for a while, you can certainly agree you have learned a great deal listening to all the different aspects of these visits. And if you've just joined us, you might think we're all crazy. That's okay. We're used. I was going to say we're used to that, but some of us may be used to that. But in any case, we just want to bring this information to you, and you can make of it whatever you want, and you can think whatever you want. But I can reassure you we've done a very professional job here trying to do the best we can to give you the best information. And speaking of good information, there's Donald Hartley, the founder of Deeper Truth, who is going to come on right now and shower us with some brilliant insights. Because I know he's capable of that. How are you tonight, Donald?
Well, John, I have to tell you, just because of where we're at down under, when you consider that the Lord loves us so much that he would come from up there to come down here and to save the human race by his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and that we have his mother in our corner who prays for us and is there for us to as a mother. And we see that, in Revelations chapter 12, verse 17, where our Lord, if you follow our Lord and you trust in our Lord, that the scripture right there tells you that she is our mother. If we proclaim Jesus, right, she is our mother. And so we have that promise. And we have that potential, just like St. John from the cross, when Mary was standing there at the foot of the cross with St. John the Apostle, and Jesus saw St. John, and he tells him, "Behold your mother." Well, at that same place, at that same point, John the Virginian standing right there. Mike the Virginian, Mike the New Jerseyan is standing right there. John from Missouri is standing right there. And everybody out here listening, Jesus is telling us the same thing, that behold your mother. That is powerful. And to also connect with that, we got John the Virginian. How you doing there, John? I know you relate to that.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm doing great. I think one of the most powerful typologies in all of Scripture is in 1 Kings chapter 2. And in that Scripture text, you have Adonijah, who is the son of the queen. And she's asking the queen to intercede for him. And the king is also her son. And we also see this in Luke, when Jesus says, those who do the will of my Father are my mother and my brothers and sisters. So if you're doing the will of God, this is what 1 Kings chapter 2 is foreshadowing. You're doing the will of God, you are the brother of Jesus, and you're the son or daughter of the queen. And it's just a powerful image. And I also want to say that Mary is appearing here in Australia in the one down land down under, because she's trying to prevent us from going to that other land down under that you don't want to be going to.
Yep. There's a connection there that I saw as well. I saw that as well. Along with John, we also got Mike, the New Jerseyan. How you doing there, Mike?
Oh, doing fantastic. Looking forward to what we're going to find out today.
All right.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, we're going to be getting a little bit into the heart of the message. Is that correct, John, the Missourian?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be all messages tonight for the most part.
Well, Don, one more question before you get going. You were saying in the kind of the pregame show that, you know, since I'm John the Virginian, you were saying that, does that make me John the Virgin? Well, then my question to you is, if you're John from Missouri, does that make you John of Misery?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah. And we can especially show you, because we're the show me state.
Especially from Springfield down there.
That's
Ned
right.
Reynolds, KY3 TV. Yep.
You know, I think I actually read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I actually read somewhere that Springfield is the most often used name for a city or area in the country, that it's the most thought, there's the most states have a Springfield, and there is a Springfield, Virginia, about an hour from me, I heard Springfield is the most, is that correct?
I think so, because I've been to most states, and there was always a Springfield that I can remember. There's Springfield, Massachusetts, Springfield, Illinois, Springfield, Missouri, Springfield, Oregon. There's a lot of places with Springfield.
Well, the Springfield, Missouri was named after a little spring in a field, and it was it runs into the Sac River, just right outside of Springfield. So that's where it comes from, in Springfield, Missouri.
Well,
and so
I'll give you a little tidbit, Donald, that you may not have known. Father William Host was a parish priest in Springfield, Virginia, and he's no longer with us, but it was from Father Most that we gleaned a lot of our research that we turned into our special, Jesus Was Born on December 25th. So that was from Springfield, Virginia, about an hour from here.
Yep. Familiar with that. Cool.
Are we ready to go to Australia?
Yep.
We are ready to rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Okay. Well, last week,
Springfield, Australia.
Last week, we started talking about Geraldine, the visionary, who didn't know she was going to become a visionary. And there were some pretty interesting stories about her life. But the most interesting, I thought, was when she had lost her sister and also a baby. And then she had a granted vision of heaven where she got to see her deceased sister and her grandmother, who she missed dearly. And they were taking care of her miscarried daughter, who had died 9 years before. And there she was as a 9-year-old in heaven, growing up under the care of her deceased sister and grandmother. And that so fits all the research on heaven that I've done. So that was just really cool to have that experience as part of this series. So anyway, tonight we go on to all the messages, both from Mary and some from Jesus. So quite a few of them, and I'm not going to go through all of them. There's actually 3 volumes, but I'm just picking. I had picked out the most interesting ones. First one happened November 2nd, 1991, from Mary, quote, "My child, Jesus, will guide you in all things. Do not be worried or concerned about anything. Trust in my son, because he wants only what is best for you. Dear child, Satan roams around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour you. Protect yourself. Wear holy blessed objects. Pray. Use holy water more. Invoke the protection of my son's precious blood. Pray to Saint Michael for protection. Rejoice in the blessings God has given you, as this is pleasing to him. Tell all our sons and daughters of my great love for them. I only wish to save them. The light of God will shine upon them if they repent." All right, that's the first message. Any reactions?
Trusting in God. You know, there's 36 Bible verses that talk about trusting in God. That just tells you how biblical. And everything you said there, you could almost write a big old book on everything she just said from that very first line. In Psalm 37, mm-hmm. verse 3, "Trust the Lord and do good. Live in the land and farm faithfulness." That's coming from Psalms 37, 3. That to trust in the Lord, that's what Our Lady, our Lord asks of us. With the divine mercy, there's just so much there in the biblical perspective and context there. What do you think about that, John the Virginian? There's so much there that he spoke of that we are encouraged.
Yep, and notice that she refers to the letter from our first pope, repeating the admonition that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. She's kind of given a nod to our first pope there.
Yep, Jeff.
I like that.
Sure is. Chapter 5, actually. I believe it's chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong about that. Yeah, it is, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. And I think that's important, too. We are to be sober, to say and to be called to be sober, because we are to be alert.
The other thing is, one of the subtle things that you can miss about that is that the verse doesn't say that Satan is a lion. It says he's like a lion, just like the other verse from Paul that says that Satan appears like a child of light. So it's kind of pointing to, you know, he's all sizzle and no steak. He's a great imitator, but he's not the real deal. Compared to Jesus, who is the light, compared to Jesus, who is the Lion of Judah. So you have the real deal, and then you have the imposter.
The counterfeit. What do you think about that, Mike?
Well, you know, we have a lot of counterfeits out there. And I just wondered if you knew how the Secret Service has a very special job of protecting the president, and that's his public face. But the Secret Service also has another function, and that's to stop counterfeiters. How do you suppose that the Secret Service learned how to spot a counterfeit bill a mile away? They examine the real thing through every little stitch. And once they know the real thing, stitch by stitch, they can spot a counterfeit a mile away.
Good point.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good point.
That is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, February 14th, 1992 was another great message here on Valentine's Day. And Mary says, quote, "Dear children, your Holy Mother speaks to you. Children, so dear to my heart, help me, please, I beg you, quickly. I tell you, I suffer so much. Go to everyone you meet and tell them the Lord is coming. Oh, my children, my sorrow is immense. I see so much catastrophe ahead for you. Come quickly to me, all of you, for protection. Pray, pray as never before. Help and console one another. I love you all, and I want you close to me to save you from the evil one who hates you and wants to destroy you and your families. This is 1992, by the way. Receive the sacraments daily. Time is of the essence. My son's wrath is about to come upon the whole world. Pray, pray, and offer all in reparation. Pray more, love more, suffer more. Walk with your mother the road to Calvary along with my divine son, Jesus. My children, God has sent me to warn you. Listen to the voice of the prophets, as you cannot imagine what the Father has prepared for those who offend him continuously. Pray, I beg you, for my lost children, my beloved children who are faithful to me. Console your sorrowful mother in constant prayer, penance, reparation, and fasting. I bless you, unquote. Wow, a lot there.
Consider this one, Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth. That's exactly what Our Lady is calling for right here. She's calling for us to live out our vocation as Christians by virtue of our baptism and confirmation. That's something that we should, I mean, this is important. This is the message that she's giving here. We are entrusted to this message, and we are to be faithful to this message. And so that, I think, is, this is, of all the things that we're hearing from Our Lady tonight, this is a very important one, because that includes us in this process, in this situation.
Nice.
We are in the ball game. We are on. That's it. Go ahead there, Mike.
there is a person who has echoed Our Lady's message, and I'm going to play a clip of it, of his voice, and see if anybody knows who it might be.
Our nation is too full of those that are crying down. Down with the police. Down with the churches. Down with teachers. Down with government. Can you build anything down? You cannot. Certainly time in our nation to change our words. And let's begin now to use the word up. Up from all of this filth. Up from this violence. Up from this indifference of courts. Up to the hid battlements of eternity. Up to God.
Anybody have any idea who that is?
Oh, I mean, you can't mistake who that is. He's the voice of our time. He's the prophet of our time, the Bishop Fulton Sheen. He was ringing the alarm years ago.
Everything
he said was so prophetic. It's so right on target.
He recorded that in the 1950s. And it sounds just like
it. Yeah.
John, I'm struck by something that Our Lady said that echoes things that she said in other apparitions, that we have no idea what is prepared for us if we continue to offend God. In another apparition, she said that mankind must prepare themselves for suffering such as they have never known.
Right.
We need to be really, really sober to what she's saying. She's basically saying, you need to get right. You have no idea what's coming to you if you don't get right. We don't want to find out what's behind that door either. I can tell you for one, I certainly don't want to.
Well, we can thank her for delaying it for so many years. She's saying constantly how she holds back you know, her son's, you know, justice. Even though we might deserve it.
Yeah, we might deserve it, but there's so much. The Lord wants to give us his mercy. As of October the 7th through the 15th, Our Lady of the Rosary, the Rosary Center and Confraternity is, we're with the Rosary Patrol joining into this, and we could put all of our rosary and our prayer with everybody around the world that's part of this. And we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of faithful Catholics
in
all over the world.
Novena of Masses. A novena of Masses.
Yeah. Yep. And this is something that we definitely need to be doing. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most blessed sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. And that's a prayer we could say right here and right now, even as we are on Deeper Truth tonight, because this is powerful, and this is what our Lord is calling for, and our Lady is calling for, that we have Jesus in our hearts. And I think this confraternity is an opportunity. The plenary indulgence, that's another thing we promote here, the plenary indulgence.
On that day, on the 7th, you can receive a plenary indulgence. If you're a member of the confraternity, you go to Mass, receive communion, in a state of grace, pray for the Holy Father, pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, you receive a plenary indulgence. Something else that you pointed out, Donald, that I think is important to focus on. I'm now reading the 29th book that I've read this year, which is just insane for me, including a book by an author named John Carpenter. You may have heard of him. but one of the books that I read this year was The Diary of St. Faustina. And in it is a classic demonstration of what you're talking about, where she said there's a vision she has where the angel of the Lord was about to strike the earth. The angel was about to strike the earth in vengeance. And our Lord gave her this prayer to say, and as she was saying this prayer, the angel was powerless and unable to strike the world. And of course the prayer was, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And that became the cornerstone of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So this interplay, we see this over and over again, John, over and over again, not only in Mary's apparitions, but in other spiritual stories and miracles of how we are delaying, just as you said, we are delaying the divine wrath by these prayers and these acts of mercy. But sooner or later, as mankind keeps offending God and keeps offending God, sooner or later, God's justice demands that he acts, and woe to us when that day comes.
Well, if we do like what we were just talking about, that might soften the blow, at least for us.
I think you guys will find this interesting. The very next message is from Jesus about all of this. So let's hear what he has to say. This occurred on April 4th, 1992. He says to Geraldine, quote, Dear daughter, my beloved mother and I are present. Be not afraid. I hold you in the palm of my hand. We are so very much offended, my child, by the sins of the world. Oh, how my heart grieves. Many souls are doomed to perdition. How it grieves me to see this. Console me, my child, as the pain is unbearable. Why are they so blind? Why do they not listen to me and my blessed mother, who loves them with a love beyond their imagination? The greatest joy awaits them in paradise, if only they would repent and turn away from sin. Oh, the sorrow in my poor mother's heart. console her, my child, as she suffers greatly. Give some consolation to your blessed mother. My children, why do you deceive yourselves? Don't you know that the kingdom of God is upon you? Repent now, while there is still time. Weep, my children, for your families, as the earth and heavens above will shake to their very foundations with a terror the world has never known.
Mm.
Woe to the wicked, as their fate is terrible. Pray, pray, pray continuously to lessen the punishment, as you cannot imagine what God will send. But fear not, my blessed beloved ones who suffer for my sake. Be not afraid. I will be with you in all things. Come close to my sacred heart, and I will comfort you. Do all in my name, and I will bless you for this. And the greatest joy shall await you. You will glorify my Father in heaven by your sacrifices. Do much penance. Pray. Fast. Tell my priests I love them, and I suffer for them greatly. Arm yourselves urgently with my mother's rosary, as the prince of darkness is unchained from the abyss. In the rosary, you will find protection and consolation. The time is at hand. My loved ones, comfort one another. Pray with and for each other. Suffer for souls, my chosen one, and the greatest joy in heaven will be yours for all eternity, unquote.
Wow. I think of the golden arrow. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the sacred heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, the most holy sacrament of the altar. That's part of my rosary. That's my prayer after I received the Holy Communion, the Eucharist. That is, you know, the golden arrow, which it's by the Lord's design. It's to offset all the blasphemy, all those who take the Lord's name in vain, that which is offensive to Him. It is offensive to Him, and so the golden arrow. And I think that is something that we would be wise in praying it with a heartfelt mind and heart from ourselves to Him, to console. This is exactly what Our Lady is calling for, to console Him. And so, and for each other. Oh, gosh. You have any thought on that there, Mike, the Virginian? I mean, New Jerseyan?
Oh, you're sending me to Virginia. Good for you. You know, I was Jesus is quoted in this statement as saying that his mother suffers greatly, but she's in heaven. I've often read in places that there is no suffering in heaven. How do you juxtapose the two?
Well, she gets around. She comes to earth, she goes to purgatory, she goes to all sorts of places. She's not just there.
I think for herself, you're right there, Mike, but because she loves those who are on their way to hell, that's where the sorrow is.
Yeah.
The sorrow
are
for those who are eternally lost. And And our Lord, He is the Lord of creation, the God of all things. And we were made for Him. And when we turn our back on Him, well, that's what is so frustrating, I'm sure, to Him. Because He gave us everything and still gives us everything. Like when we're talking about these plenary indulgences, these are opportunities. There's no excuse. There's no reason for anyone to go to purgatory when you think about it. The Lord doesn't necessarily want you to aim for purgatory. He gives us a means by which we can bypass it. unfortunately, so many people don't either believe in it or they don't take it seriously. Now is the day. Now is the time. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 3, now is the day of salvation. Now. So don't put it off for tomorrow what you should be doing for today. That's what we should be doing, especially with our faith. You know, because when you're standing before God in judgment, you don't want to be standing up there with a whole lot of maybes. No. You want to be standing up and there trusting in the Lord. Yeah.
And John the Virginian, there again, we have another very graphic and dramatic threat. God will send a terror that the world has never known. So again, we get that same terrifying prophecy, which, well,
you're absolutely right. And you know, the Bible says, John, that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, you know, I've always said you're supposed to progress past the beginning. You know, you're supposed to get to the point where you want to cease sinning just because of your love of God and because of who He is. But fear is the beginning. And someone who doesn't fear God is a fool, especially when you hear a warning like that. God is basically telling you straight up, His justice demands that you're going to suffer a consequence that He doesn't even want to describe to you. He's basically saying you have no idea what is in store for you if you don't get right. Well, if you hear a warning like that from Almighty God and you don't get right, woe to you. Woe to you.
Yeah.
Because His justice.
Yeah, and a reminder, that this is only 29 years ago, this message. Only 29 years ago in all of our centuries of existence, only 29 years ago did this message come to us. So we are truly in those times.
John, this message just 29 years ago reflects what St. Peter, the first pope, warned about. He says, do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay His promise as some regard delay, but He is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a mighty roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and everything on it, done on it, will be found out. So how do we want to be found out? Do we want to be found out for doing the Lord's work and doing what He calls us to do? Or do we want to be like a mouse in a maze, not realizing the snake that's on the other side of that wall there, ready to strike at you when you least expect it? Oh, my.
You know,
we need to be alert.
Donald, I'll throw out another quote from the prophet of our time that Mike played the clip from Bishop Fulton Sheen. Bishop Sheen said, to sin is human, but to persist in sin is diabolical. This is what's basically being addressed here, is unrepentance, the refusal, the stubborn refusal to turn away from sin, the stubborn refusal to pray and seek the graces that it takes for you to overcome sin. Sometimes you have habitual sins are difficult to overcome. You need to put in the work. You need to go to that extra adoration, go to that extra confession, say that extra rosary, do the work to receive the graces it takes to overcome that. But when you have a person that is stubbornly, unrepentantly, you know, the Bible talks about the unforgivable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And the Catholic Church describes that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit as a final impenitence, a final refusal to turn away from the sin. Well, if that happens, eventually you get to the point where Jesus can't give you His mercy. He cannot give you His mercy because to give you his mercy would be to violate his own justice because you are refusing his mercy. So there's two ways to get to heaven. You can walk, or there's two ways to get to the afterlife, rather. You can walk through the door of mercy, or you can walk through the door of justice. You're going to walk through one of those two doors. I know which one I'm choosing, but everybody's going to walk through one of those two doors, period. Full
right.
Stop.
There you go. All right. Well, here's another message, April 24th, 1992, this one from Mary. Quote, "My child, I, your blessed mother, am present. Do not be afraid. Satan cannot harm you as you have my motherly protection. But you must still arm yourself with prayer, especially my Holy Rosary. My daughter, please be guided by me. Do not be deceived by the world. My daughter, prostrate yourself before me and console me as my heart aches for my children. My holy angels are present in veneration. I wish to make known through you the sufferings of my Immaculate Heart. Tell my beautiful children how much I love them and long to teach them. Oh, my child, the pain in my heart is unbearable. Help me. I suffer greatly. Pray, pray, pray," unquote.
You know, John, just looking at what I'm seeing here and what John was just saying too, this is what it says in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. Those who were not killed by plagues and by these judgments that God is sending, these trumpets. Verse 20 goes on to say that the rest of the human race who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands to give up the worship of demons and idols made from gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, which cannot see nor hear nor walk. Nor did they repent of their murders. Like think of abortion here, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Their magic potions, their unchastity. And think about it is a horrible situation right now. Pornography is an addiction, and people are being caught up in all this stuff. And so, what our Lady is and our Lord is warning about, this is important. We have a caller, 731 area code. Do you have a question or a thought that you would like to ask the panel here?
No, I had dialed in to listen.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. That's
well,
fine.
Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
Enjoy.
Glad
and
to have
this is about our lady's appearance there in Australia. So, yeah, thank you, ma'am. All right, John.
All right.
You have another message.
Oh, yeah. We have one from Jesus again. This is on June 11th, 1992. Quote, "Oh, my daughter, be silent and know that I am God." Where have you heard that before?
Yeah.
That's a Bible verse. That's right. Okay, I'll read that again. "Oh, my daughter, be silent and know that I am God. Have I ever abandoned you? Am I not at this present moment standing by you? Be not afraid, for I am within you. Have courage, my child, and abide in me, who am all love. I have not forsaken you. The torment your soul has suffered is also a purification. Offer all to my heavenly Father for all needy humanity. Beloved daughter, I see you suffer greatly, but do not distress yourself. I will be your shining light. You still doubt, but I understand this, and you will grow. Your spiritual director will guide and help you greatly. What you will suffer now will not last long. Pray much and offer all, and this trial will pass quickly. To use you to spread my messages. Do not worry. I will show you the way. Just write all that I say for now. I will sustain you in everything as you are mine. You belong to me, and I love you. I will not let you suffer beyond your capacity. I must now let my Holy Mother speak, as I feel that you need her more now. And then Mary chimes in, my child, do not be afraid. Satan cannot harm you. Angels surround you always, and especially now. Turn off your television. Pray more. Do not be afraid. I have come to comfort you. Fear not, little one, and be at peace. My son loves you, unquote. All right. That's kind of a rare instance where we have both Jesus and Mary chiming in together at the same time. So that's pretty cool. Any reactions?
Yeah, two things I'll say. One, that one hit close to home. That one really hit close to home. Almost as if Jesus was talking to me personally. But the second thing is, you know, for people who are of other faith and say, oh, you know, this Marian apparition stuff, this is, you know, worship of Mary, and, you know, it's all this stuff that they say. I challenge anybody to listen to those two messages right there and find anything unbiblical there. Anything.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely as biblical and as orthodox Christianity as you can get, especially, and it goes deeper than just the surface religion. Jesus is basically saying, I know that it feels like I've abandoned you. I know it feels like I'm not there. Abandon yourself, trust. I just finished the book, Abandonment to Divine Providence, which is just on this subject. And it's easy to say, but it's the hardest thing in the world, but it feels like the whole world's raining down on top of you. And Jesus is telling you, I got this under control. You just need to trust me. Be still and know that I'm God. You need to trust me. And it's just hard to do when the thunder's clapping and the rain's coming down. But it is our only way. It is our only way forward, is to completely trust in him. Because when we put trust in ourselves, that's when things go haywire.
Well, yep. John, I think that's why you go to Psalms 46, verse 10. That's where Our Lady is quoting from, our Lord and Our Lady are quoting from. Be still and know that I am God. And what does God say? What does Jesus say? I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we are to be still and know that he is God. And what do we know by that? We know that he is in control. No matter how bad it sounds, you listen to the media, you listen to what's going on, and we need to pray for this country, no question about that. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our holy faith in this country. We need to pray for the world. There's so many things that we need to pray about, and there's so much that we need to do as well. We are to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so we have much that we have to do in our sphere, you know, where we're placed, where we're at. We need to be that sense of, you know, we need to be the Lord's hands, his feet, his voice, in the midst of those around us, whether it's work or whether, you know, play, family, everything. And so, and souls do depend on that, actually, because a lot of times, I mean, I was in the trenches when I was in the Army, 26 years plus. I mean, a lot of the people I dealt with would never have gone to a priest or a minister of any kind to be out there in the trenches and bringing them in. That's always got that fishing pole. Always have it handy, so whenever I need it, I can out there and I'm trying to reel them in. That's our goal anyway. We're striving to do that, and we're seed planters. That's what we do. We plant seeds. And what we're doing tonight with Our Lady, her appearing in Australia, this is important for all of us. I think that we need to take our Lord's message to the world, and it is consistent. What our Lord and our Lady has been saying here in the messages you're sharing is the Bible all along. And so that's something that we need to share.
And it is so consistent with Scripture. This is what gets me when people knock on this. It is absolutely consistent with Scripture that there's always been a herald. There's always been a messenger, whether that messenger is the angel Gabriel, or that messenger is Isaiah the prophet, or Elijah, or John the Baptist. There's always been a herald, a messenger, and the herald and the messenger for our time is Our Lady. She has been that modern version of Elijah, that modern version of the angel Gabriel, bringing the message to the world.
Yep.
But you look at Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And so think about that. The Lord is at work. He didn't stop 2,000 years ago.
Very interesting interesting part that you point in there, that you pointed out in there, Donald, about the handmaid. Because who was it that said of itself, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord"?
Don?
Yeah,
go ahead, Mike. Oh, there you are. Well, I noticed here Mary is quoted as saying, "Turn off your television." Notice she didn't say, "Turn off your radio."
Yeah.
She didn't say turn off your radio.
Master be saying turn off Netflix, turn off the computer, turn off Twitter, turn off social media. Turn it off. Come back to me.
Especially in our day and time, for the most part.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, that's how people see and find us sometimes. So there is some good there, but you have to be very careful because there's so much bad. So when we're dealing all we strive to do is to do what the Lord, we're trying to promote Him in everything that we do on here. But unfortunately, so many people don't. They go in there for personal reasons, and it's not so good. But if we're following our Lord,
Satan's going to use every avenue and everything that we've got against us. And so he's having a blast with social media. Satan's loving it. He's loving it. It's more divisive and more upsetting than ever. And no mistake. That's Satan at work.
Well, today anything the Pope says is blasted all over the world before he has a chance to take a breath.
Right.
Let alone
explain what it means. But one of the things that is really bothering me is what's happening in our schools. Parents who are standing up for their children and what they're being taught. There are people out there who are saying that parents don't have a right to tell what the schools teach.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. You just hit the bullseye on that one. Donald Hartley, you just hit the bullseye on that one. Let me tell you, in Mass today, our priest addressed that one right between the eyes. He talked about, he says, "I can't believe there are politicians out there who have the gall to tell parents that they don't have a right to say what their children should be taught in schools. And I can't believe there are people who are willing to vote for those politicians." Now, the reason why what Father said was so powerful. You've heard me talk about our priests and our parents have no qualms about telling it just like it is. The person that you're referring to is running for governor in my state, in the state of Virginia. And in his last debate, Terry McAuliffe actually said that. He had the gall to say that, I don't believe that parents should be able to tell the schools what they should be teaching their children. And our priest today in his homily took that on right between the eyes. And we need more of that from the from our priest. We need more of that from the pulpit. He did not mince words. He said, I can't believe that a politician would say that, and I can't believe that anybody would vote for him.
Amen. Amen. And that's and that's
all right.
Just, and that's going all over the country, by the way. Oh, so this is so good. And this is something that Our Lady and Our Lord is concerned about as well, because they want us as parents to teach our children the way of righteousness.
Don't you notice, Don, that while the politicians are saying that parents have no right to tell educators what they should and should not teach, they still want your money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
I had a situation.
Amen.
I had a situation back in the 1980s when the public school my daughters were attending was called parents to a meeting and displayed their sex education materials. Well, God wasn't mentioned in any of them, and I was that didn't surprise me. And I said to when they called for questions, the question I asked them was, there are several excellent works done on this subject by noted Christian authors. And I said, why haven't you included any of them? Oh, we don't know who they are. Well, I reached into my pocket, pulled out a list. I said, here. And I have phone numbers. I have addresses and phone numbers if you need them. Well, that led to an argument. That led to an argument. And I was physically removed from the meeting.
Wow.
So that was going on back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
They were wanting to push this. But anyways, but see, we have the right message. And John, do you have another message before we have to lock horns tonight?
Yeah, and then we'll finish up the rest of them next week. We'll easily finish next week. But here's one more I wanted to get in tonight from Mary on October 7th. 1993, she says, quote, my dear child, tell my priest sons I am calling them together to prepare to do battle. The church and the world are about to be thrown into great turmoil. Pray very much for the Holy Father, which was John Paul II, as he suffers greatly for the sins of humanity and is very distressed. He needs your constant support in prayer. Tell my sons I have chosen you to give these messages, which is the holy will of my son. Prepare humanity now for the greatest battle since time began, which is about to begin. If you do not heed my warnings, you will not survive the terrible and evil time ahead. Torrents of rain, hail, thunder, earthquakes, catastrophes, natural disasters, murders, corruption, incest, immorality, abortions, priests, and religious losing faith and committing sacrileges against the holy name of my son. These are taking place. How much more can he take? He is daily crucified. Help me, please. I cannot hold back the justice of my son anymore. Please, my sons, prepare now as never before. I'm gathering you now from the four corners of the earth to do battle. And hold on a second. The four corners of the earth to do battle. Put on the armor of God daily. Take up your cross and carry it with joy. Go in peace, unquote. Okay, well, that was quite a powerful one to end on tonight.
Yeah.
Any reaction?
Yeah, so many things to say there. First of all, there's the verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Who is this that comes forth as the morning sun, terrible as an army in battle? And it's no coincidence that she chose the date of October 7th, which is the date of one of the most legendary battles in the history of the Catholic Church, the Battle of Lepanto. And she's talking about pulling people from the four corners of the earth for this decisive battle, the battle of all battles, if you will. And it's something that we refer to as Armageddon. Well, a lot of people don't realize Armageddon isn't a time, it's a place. And what it really means is Mountain of Megiddo. And it's referring to Mount Carmel. This is a reference to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And all of this comes together in this culmination that the final battle was foreshadowed way back in Genesis 3. It is the battle between the devil and the woman. And it's shown to us in Revelation chapter 12. And here it is, vividly in color, this is the final confrontation. And we're headed for it like a runaway train.
Yep. All right.
Well, you know, the one thing here that our Lord, you know, basically Psalms 45, basically referring to Jesus, but after referring to Jesus, talking about the king, the daughters of kings come to meet you. The queen takes her place at your right hand in gold of Orville. Hear, O daughter, and see, turn your ear, forget your people and your father's house. So shall the king desire your beauty, for he is your Lord, and you must worship him. And the city of Tyre is here with gifts. The rich among the people seek your favor. And whose favor are they seeking? Our Lady, the Queen. All glorious is the king's daughter as she enters. Her remnant is threaded with gold. In embroidered apparel she is borne into the king. Behind her, the virgins of her train are brought to you. They are borne in with gladness and joy. They enter the palace of the king. The place of your fathers, your sons, will or shall have. You shall make them princes through all the land. I will make your name memorable through all the generations. Therefore shall nations praise you forever and ever. This is referring to Our Lady here. And so who are these that she would be making princes through all the land? You go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. It tells you, and this is referring to Jesus, you made them a kingdom for our God, and they will reign on earth. These men who God has called to be priests are also sons of Our Lady. I think that is powerful to put them together like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. All right, well, we will continue this next week, and I'll actually start with this same message. And so if you do any thinking about it, we'll actually start with this one again next week to kind of share with those who maybe weren't here tonight, and start with that one next week, and then we'll wrap them up. But quite interesting. Again, it shows that no matter where Our Lady appears, whether it's in New Jersey or France or Korea or Australia, the messages are so alike. Anyway,
John,
it shouldn't
be
surprised.
One final question.
Yeah.
One final question. I'd just like to know where these apparitions are in the approval process.
Oh, she had three bishops approve them.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember covering that in the beginning. Yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
Right. I'm old.
Yeah.
I forget things.
Oh, that's okay. Well, it happened 2 weeks ago, so, you know, in terms of when I mentioned it. So he might have forgotten. All right. So before we close, we, of course, always like to ask everyone out there to join with me in a Hail Mary. We want all our voices in unison around the world to rise up to heaven and make heaven smile. So let's let them know that we're thinking about them and that we're talking about all of this. So join with me now Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight to take the time to see what we're up to. Hopefully these messages and this discussion will enhance your faith, maybe answer some questions, and maybe wake you up a little bit.
Yeah.
It might make you think twice about when you look at the news in the world right now and you hear what they're saying 29 years ago, and you can imagine what they'd be saying about us now. You'd have to wonder if something's about to happen to the world. It's not a doom and gloom thing. I'm just saying that we need to be on the right path. As Mary has said, we have nothing to worry about if we're in with Jesus and on the path to heaven. So pray, pray, pray. Go to church, go to Mass, go to confession, get the sacraments, you know. And she says you have nothing to worry about if you're with her and Jesus and doing the right things. So we do not need to be afraid. All right.
Amen.
Any last comment? Yeah.
Hey,
amen.
The Bible says that 360 times.
65.
Yeah. I would just ask all of you, I'm waiting for word. My mother may have COVID. So if you all would just say an extra prayer when you get a chance for my mom tonight, I'd really appreciate it.
We will.
Amen.
Definitely.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good night, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll see you tomorrow night. Same bat time, same bat station for Eucharistic Miracles. Good night, everybody.
Claudius Lysias to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him.
Traveling in a dried up country, on a twisted tail with Caesar's on me. I met a strange Judean. And I took my man, cause the natives were restless. And I said, do your job, cause the men's outnumbered. We better go and get up there. Can't you see that the men are thunder? You better run, you better take cover. From a
everything I was. These people listening to him, I wonder. Really, Paul was that number? Yeah, could the bees write cheese on the number? He's better off, I'd rather take a bow. If you want to suggest a number.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.